Hello, and welcome to another installment of Podcast 360. I'm your moderator, Amanda Belby, with Cardiology Consultant. Cardiometabolic health should be maintained by a multidisciplinary care team. However, in clinics that do not have a large care team, sometimes it is necessary for a cardiologist to know how to treat a patient with comorbid diabetes. Here with us today to speak about CVD and diabetes is Dr. Daniel Einhorn, who is the President of Diabetes and Endocrine Associates, Medical Director of the Scripps Whittier Diabetes Institute, and Clinical Professor of Medicine at the University of California, San Diego. He also recently spoke about the diabetes guidelines at the World Congress Insulin Resistance Diabetes and Cardiovascular Disease Conference. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Einhorn.
Thank you, Amanda. It's a pleasure to be here.
So first, can you give us an overview of the diabetes guidelines for our cardiologists? What are the top three takeaways they should know about treating diabetes?
So this is really a watershed moment for the overlap of diabetes and cardiology. For the first time, all these societies agree that we need to distinguish people with diabetes who have established cardiovascular disease from the rest. Now, established is not a diagnosed or absolutely defined term. That's a little bit of a loose term, and we'll come back to that later on. But certainly we have to look at those people at higher risk for cardiovascular events and treat them differently, specifically to treat them with medications that have been proven to prevent cardiovascular events, whether it's hospitalizations for heart failure, sudden death, myocardial infarction, etc. There are three drugs currently FDA approved for management of cardiovascular disease in people with diabetes. And those drugs, it's empagliflozin, canagliflozin, and liraglutide, or Jardiance, Invokana, and Victoza. They have specific both proof by statistical analysis, but also by FDA specific labeling for use. And it's now recommended that these medications be used first, perhaps even before metformin, so as first line therapy for these higher risk cardiovascular patients. And that's never been said so boldly before. And the guidelines, including those from the American College of Cardiology, specifically name these medications. Now, we in endocrinology believe that probably any sister medication, for one group it's Farxiga and Steglatro, for the other it's medicines like Ozempic, Bydureon, Trulicity. We think that these will also, in fact, Trulicity has some data, not yet FDA approval, but has data. So we think that these classes of medicines, one class is called SGLT2, those are the once-a-day pills that make you pee out extra glucose, and then the GLP-1 receptor agonists, which are once-a-day or once-a-week injectables that generally lower weight and other cardiovascular risk factors, but most importantly, to lower events. So the big thing is that there's now specific medications that are assigned to these specific patients. And then a further cut from that is in those patients with established heart disease, those who have heart failure as either a risk or as a prior event may especially benefit from the Jardiance and Invokana group of medicines, which have been shown to prevent hospitalizations for heart failure. So we've learned a lot in diabetes about our cardiovascular patients, and really for the first time are revising the guidelines to start with medicines that are good for those patients with cardiovascular disease. And of course, if it's good for those who have had known cardiovascular events, and since everyone with diabetes has an increased risk of cardiovascular disease, should we not be considering these medicines first for everyone with a type 2 diabetes, and perhaps even for some with type 1 diabetes? So it's been quite a revolution in the guideline world, but quite universal agreement, which has never really happened quite so obviously before. So that's exciting.
Definitely. And can you give us an example of a challenging patient who didn't fit perfectly into one of these recommendations? How did you handle that situation?
Right. Perfect. So that's essentially what I was alluding to. these medicines are indicated for those with established cardiovascular disease. So you have a 60-year-old man who has well-treated hypertension, well-treated cholesterol, and well-treated diabetes, and he's never had a heart attack or congestive heart failure. So is he somebody with established heart disease or not? Should he be given these medications, or should he be treated the old way, you know, metformin first, then whatever else you're going to use? And that's a quandary. Most of us in endocrinology, if we can, we think it makes sense to use these two newer classes of medicine. First, of course, for the heart disease aspect, but the other attributes, they help with weight loss, they help with blood pressure, they help with glucose control, of course, they don't cause low blood sugar. They're easy to live with, rather easy to use, and have a very favorable side effect profile. But who is the person with established cardiovascular disease? And so we have to sort that out. But I think that right now, the clinician is left to make the judgment for themselves, and perhaps the patient will participate in this judgment. If I explain to a patient what the attributes are of either the once-a-day pill or, let's say, once-weekly injectable, and they say, well, you know, weight loss, that sounds good. Not having a low blood sugar, that sounds good. Lower blood pressure, that sounds good. And maybe cardiovascular benefits, that sounds good. So it's a matter of making the decision together with the patient. But it's really a cardiovascular, and must say, when I say cardiovascular, I will include the kidney in that, because it happens, what's good for the heart is also good for the kidney and vice versa.
I'm sure that you receive quite a few questions after presenting this session. What is the most common question you receive, and how do you normally respond?
So there were two common practical questions. And so one, I mentioned three medicines with the FDA approval. What happens if they're not covered on a person's insurance? And that's a big issue with formularies. And so in general, our guidance has been any medicine in that class. So one class, again, is called SGLT2 inhibitors, once a day pill that helps pee out extra glucose. And there's four of those, so the Jardiance and Vokana with the approval, and then the Farxiga and Steglatro. If they're on the formulary, whatever's on the formulary, we'd accept. And there's more of these compounds coming along, so you'll see more of these. And the same is true with the medicine called the GLP-1s. These are injectable, but very easy to live with, and I'll come to that in a moment. And so it's a Victoza that has the label, and Trulicity also has data, but we think any in that class, if that's what's covered, we would accept it. So not to be held to just the ones that are named. And the other issue is, how do you convince someone to use any injectable medication in diabetes? And so here it's important that the clinicians understand that this is not your father's injectable agent. First of all, the engineering of needles today is so remarkable. So they're so tiny and so short. It's really intradermal injections largely, that unless you use alcohol to prep the skin, and you shouldn't, you literally cannot feel that the prick going through the skin. It's virtually painless. Certainly people get over it immediately. That's never the reason to stop. And the pens themselves are very easy to use. You're not drawing up fluid into a syringe. You're just clicking a pen. And so it's just convenient, quick, easy, and painless. So once you show somebody what the injectable is, they get it. So it's just a matter of the clinician being comfortable and having it in their office so they can demonstrate and have the confidence to prescribe. So again, the major questions were those of access.
So what other knowledge gaps would you say exist among cardiologists regarding the diabetes guidelines?
I would say the major gap is the allowance of the older agents to still be used. So for example, sulfonylureas, glimepiride, gliburide, glucotrol, these are agents that are really potentially dangerous in people with heart disease because they can cause weight gain and hypoglycemia. And yet they remain among the most commonly used medicines after metformin in the United States. So clearly there's acceptance of the risks of these agents. And I would say in endocrinology, we try to use these drugs never But when they are used, at least to be aware of the risks and to use them at the lowest possible dose. You get most of the benefit of on glucose at half maximal dose anyway, and less of the risk of side effects. Of that group, glimepiride probably has the least amount of hypoglycemia, but once you go looking for hypoglycemia, you will find it with these agents. And conversely, these newer classes of agents that I mentioned that are so exciting for cardiovascular disease are woefully underused. So the guidelines are being quite proactive. They're really pushing people to behave in a way that's different than they behaved before, but it should be easy to do. It just takes time to translate. And a big part of the revolution will come from continuous glucose monitoring. There is now very accessible, inexpensive, continuous glucose monitoring that can last a week or two. And once you really see what glucose has looked like overnight, that's a common time for hypoglycemia. And once you really see the variability around meals, you will see how terrific these newer agents are compared to what we used to have. So it's a much brighter future for our patients with type 2 diabetes, perhaps type 1 diabetes as well, heart disease, and as I said, those with kidney disease as well. So we're very excited, and hopefully these guidelines, the fact that we all agree, is going to be very, very helpful to move the field forward.
Absolutely. Thank you again for speaking with me, Dr. Einhorn.
All right. Pleasure.